Is right yet, so do be praying for Lock Haven Scripture Press. But we did have a good turnout, and hopefully Brother Chris got the brakes fixed on the bus. Oh, praise the Lord. So Brother Price is nodding his head, so I relay that to you. Let's see. Well, tonight is the last thing on the schedule. Let's see what's coming ahead. When is the ladies' event? I don't see that in the bulletin. Oh, there it is. Passports and Passages, Saturday, May the 13th at 2 p.m. All ladies are welcome. And I think the sign-up sheet is on that bulletin board. But if not, then it's on that bulletin board. So be sure to sign up and let them know how many are coming. And that'll be on May the 13th. Portion of a missionary letter from Go In Ministries, one of the missionaries in the Philippines. Be sure to read that. And I think that's all the announcements. Tomorrow, happy birthday to Vivian Resto. So, happy birthday. And take your songbook, turn to page number 143. You may remain seated as we sing My Jesus, I Love Thee, 143. Yeah. one another, our pastor and his family, our deacons, various church ministries, including Lock Haven Scripture Press. Continue to pray for our country, our law enforcement personnel, our elected officials in courts, those serving in our military, and our Supreme Court. Remember our missionaries, the Dorr family in Mexico, Golden Ministries, the Griffin family in the Philippines, McKinley family in Ireland, Peterson family in Uganda, Ruskina family in India, Skolnick family in Thailand, Shapno family in Greece, Thornsley family in Colorado, Werner family in India, and the Owens family in the Republic of Georgia. We're praying for the salvation of James Yates, Wade Loy, Eleanor Roman, Ryan, Paul Barhola, Roger Yates, and the Morales family. Remember those with unspoken requests, Sister Toombs, Sister Spencer, Sister Burgos, Brother Chucky, Sister Corwin, Sister Bass, Sister Stacy, Brother Kowiski. Remember those with loss of loved ones, the Kuna family, the Risso family, the Hopkins family, Matina Adolfe, the Hester family, the Baywell family, the Parsons family, Bible Baptist Manitoba, Bethel Baptist Steve Harnoys. Remember those who are traveling, the Stacys and the Ventures. And Sister Toombs added a prayer request for Pastor Whitten in the death of his wife, Pastor Whitten. And then on the medical side, remember those with cancer, Betty Lee, Carrie Sherrell, Charles Giesler, Danny Ward, Jimmy Elsie, Hugh Veal, Dory Ogden, Austin Holmes, Randy Tony, Trina Bish, Charles Harris, Greg Ryherd, A.J. Fox, Daryl Brumfield, Richard Mast, Mary Chisholm, Jim Harnoys, the Harkema family, and Donna Millman. And then those with other medical needs, Herbert Toombs, Lisa Houston, Doreen Blossom, Donna Elsie, Kim Miller, Jimmy Hatch, Jerry LaForce, Rosa Nazario, Kelsey Collins, Susan Dentry, Jennifer Kowiski, Bryce Nelsie, Jerry Fleshman, Alex Springs, Donna Allison, Marisol Bennett, Vivian Russell's parents, particularly her dad, need to put him down with cancer, Makila Hicks, Steve Lee, Brenda Doyle, Veronica Meadows, Carol Carpenter, J.C. Thomas, Lonnie Pendergrass, Pastor Mrs. Stein, Reagan Meisler, Mark and Tanya Kober, David Lee, James Angel, Bryson Elsie, Josh Chisholm, and then on Sunday we added Scott Ventress Jr. Sister Jeannie asked me to mention tonight that her parents, their home has a lot of mold, and so they're needing the walls torn out and replaced. And if anyone knows of someone who has done that kind of work that you could recommend to her, you know, they want to hire someone. So if you have any experience with that kind of a project, if you would let Miss Jeannie know, and the contact information for that as well. Are there updates on any of these on the prayer list or new ones to add tonight? Yes, Sister Nancy. Okay, anyone else? Brother Spencer?
Yes, Ms. Vivian Russell asked for prayer for her father. He was in an accident this week and is in the hospital. This is in Costa Rica. And that's it.
Okay. Sister Barbara? Meadows family. Okay, anyone else? Brother Price.
Thank you. have a time of prayer. You're welcome to pray where you are, or you can come to the front. After a few moments, Brother Mike Nelson, if you would close in prayer. One more.
Sorry, Brother. Is Brother Johnson on the prayer list?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to include him. That's right. Brother Johnson is not feeling well, severely dehydrated, and going for some tests tomorrow, if I understand correctly. Right. Okay. All right. Well, did we be praying for Brother David Johnson?
Day that you've given us to be able to come join our hearts together in prayer and be in your house in fellowship and hear your word preached and sing praises of your name. We just pray for tonight that you would be with each and every person on the prayer request list and many that are sick and shut in, that you would continue to touch and comfort them. We also want to pray for this special unspoken request that you know the needs of each and every one. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them. And we pray for those missionaries who are church sponsors, supports, Lord, worldwide, that you would continue to bless their ministries and their efforts and service for you. Not only just them, but all your servants that serve you around this world, Lord, we just pray that your grace service, and forgive us of our sins, and help us to be better testimonies for you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take your songbook, turn to page number 221. Let's stand together as we sing Christ Receive a Sinful Man, 221. Good evening. Welcome to Lockhaven Baptist Church, and I hope you've had a good week in the Lord. You need to be praying the Lord send some rain our way for sure. It is a little dry out, and there's been some fires that's been popping up around Central Florida here.
But the Lord knows what he's doing with that too. He really does. John chapter 3 and verse 16 tonight. Very, very familiar passage of scripture. I was reading an article about a young kid who ran away, and they found him across the way, a couple of states over, actually. And they asked, why did he do it? And he said he just didn't feel like he was loved. Didn't feel like he was loved. That was the reason they ran away. Whether that's truth or not, there's it's two sides of every story. It could have been he just didn't get his Hot Wheel and he wanted it, so he left. But he seemed pretty broken. I think we could all say we love it when we like to be loved. We really like to be loved. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the love of God, characteristics of God's love. And didn't find another verse that was quite as awesome as this to start with, because it talks about the love of God. It really does. And sometimes, and especially in this day and age, we get a little mixed up. You know, everybody wants to hear about the love. But when we think about it in depth, it was the love of God that sent Christ to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sin. It was love that sent Christ for a ransom for our souls. And so it's good to just reflect back a little bit. And I want you to know tonight, you may be here tonight feeling like you're not loved, but I want you to know God loves you. God certainly loves you. And of course, we have a divine nature. We take on a divine nature, for partakers of Christ's nature when we get saved. And the Bible says in 1 John, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So thinking about that, and greatest of all commandments, love God with everything within us. And then second to that is to love our neighbors. So we're going to talk about the love of God tonight. I thought you might need a little bit of encouragement tonight. Thank you for allowing me to go and spend time in Tallahassee and preach at Gospel Light Baptist Church this weekend. Had a good time up there. Friendly, God-honoring church. And I enjoyed the time I got to spend with them. And it was an encouragement during a difficult time that Pastor Clark has had over the past month or two. He needed some encouragement. So God just worked it out that way. Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when I thought about that phrase, for God so loved the world, I thought, you know, to me that's just, there's no boundaries on that. We have boundaries here in America. We have boundaries in not only in the nation, we have boundaries in states. You go from one state to the next, laws change in those states, and some of you have concealed carries, and you got to be careful where you travel with that, because one state may not recognize it. We have boundaries in our counties. We have boundaries within our counties. We have boundaries down even to our property that we own. Each individual, if you own a piece of property, you go, and it's got a boundary. But when we look at the love of God, for God so loved the world. I don't know about you, but I'm glad there was no boundary on that. I'm glad that that boundless love of Christ, it just expanded and expelled and ran over outside the nation of Israel. There on the cross of Calvary, where love, the ultimate sacrifice, was shown, was there right in the middle of the nation of Israel. But God said, I love the world. And that boundless love, it's just amazing when you think about that God's love just encompasses the whole world and everybody that's in it. And I think about little places that you hardly ever read about, little old bitty countries, you know, say like Uzbekistan. We probably wouldn't have known where they even had. I wouldn't have known unless, you know, of course, 9/11 happened. Things took America over there to that region. I never even heard of that country. But God's love went all the way to that country. Boundless. Fiji. I couldn't even hardly tell you about where that's at. I think it's somewhere off, somewhere south of Hawaii, out there west of California, somewhere, I guess. Am I close? Way out there. Love of God, just boundless. Just boundless. Some of you have traveled probably near to all the states here in America. Some of you got family members that live, outside of Florida. The love of God reaches out into there. Just boundless, boundless love, the boundless love of God. And as I got to looking around into the Scripture, I found some characteristics of God's love throughout the Bible. And we're just going to look at a few places. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, John 3:16 explains to us that His love is boundless. Ephesians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians 2, and verse number 4. My appetite's beginning to seem boundless. Man, a lot. I try to cut back, and it seems as though it's just food's calling. Lasso me. Come here. You know them carrots aren't good for you. You need a Snicker bar. Ephesians 2 and 4, the Bible says, But God, who is rich in mercy, praise the Lord for that. Listen what it says. For His great love, wherewith He loved us. His great love. So it's a boundless love, and it's great. You talk about something that is great, a mount, a large amount, and it's just great. And that's how the love of God is. He doesn't just give us a little bitty teaspoonful of love. I mean, His love is so great, the Bible says that His love constrains us. And it should constrain us. It should constrain us in a good way. The love of God should constrain us to be obedient to Scripture, to do that which is right. It should constrain us to not do that which is wrong. I was up there in Tallahassee, and Brother Clark took us to a barbecue restaurant. It was called Missions Barbecue, and I've never heard of it before. But it had some amazing things, quotes and things in there. And it said this, one quote said, choose to do the harder right than the easier wrong. Well, the love of God does that for us. You know, the Bible says in James that if we to him to know it, to do right, and doeth not, to him it is sin. Well, the love of God, it's great. God, listen, God loves us so much that He has to, in times in our life, He has to chasten us. So the Hebrew says it. He chastens those who He despises, right? No. He chastens those to whom He loves. Why? Because He wants us to do right. He wants to be proud of us. I sit back and think about as a human father and, my grandkids coming along now. I've got 4 grandkids a long way. Boy, it just pumps you up just to see them, take that first step and to ride their bicycle and then run and then go on to, do other things and say their ABCs and 1, 2, 3s and they count for you. And then they come in, they run in there, they just want to hug you and they can't get up high enough. They just hug your thigh, you're just proud, swole up proud. And I think about God. Our Heavenly Father, He desires for each and every one of us, Brother Ray, to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's His desire. In so much that He moves into us and lives within us, and He brings conviction, and His love is great, and He just wants to help us along the way. And He wants us to be the best testimony in the world. But His love is so boundless, and His love is so great, that when we do fall, that great love reaches down, puts His hand out. The love of God says, come on back up here. I love you. I love you and I want you to succeed. I want you to bring glory to my name. I want you to have a life that's honoring to Christ, who's worthy above all to save you and to ransom you. And I want you to represent him well. And he does that because his love is great. Look in Romans chapter 5. When I read Romans chapter 5, just looking at these characteristics of God's love, the first thing that came to my mind when I read Romans chapter 5 in verse 8, it's a familiar verse. You've read it. You know it. Probably could quote it. I know that I try sometimes to use this quite often, but it says this, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." To me, that's unnatural. That's an unnatural love. I don't possess that. I can be honest with you. I do not possess that. I wished I had that ability to love like God loves in this manner. But God, this is an unnatural love here, that while we were yet sinners, still in our sin, and the world was still wicked above, you know, just the imaginations of men was just the thought. Men's thoughts are evil and wicked, and just the actions on top of that, and all that. And Christ was sent by God to die for us at 33 and a half years as a human, 100% human man on this earth and 100% God on this earth. He died knowing that from that point on, there will still be sin. He didn't die and eliminate sin. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, dear friend, and he was buried, he took upon the sins of him. But sin still existed when he rose again from the grave. And God understood that. And yet he still said, "Go ahead, son. Go to that cross. Die for him, because I love him. And I want to spend eternity with all and whosoever will trust in your death, burial, and resurrection." Knowing that sin would still exist. I don't know that I could offer my son. I know I couldn't. I couldn't offer my daughters and say, "Well, I know you're going to still do bad, but here, go into jail for them." I couldn't, Brother Chris, I couldn't send one of my kids to jail for you, knowing you're going to go ahead and break the law down the road. I couldn't do it. But God said, when you was yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Lord, would God we get to the point where we could love in such a fashion. That we would love without respect and unconditionally. We have a hard time even loving our loved ones unconditionally. We really have a difficult time with that. Much less a stranger. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 1. That boundless love, it's great. It should just take our breath when we think about how God loves us. It should just take our breath away. One day I was trying to say something real poetic to my wife. And I told her, "Lord, I hope I get this right and don't make a fool of myself." I said, "Hun, you just take the wind right out of my sails." And she laughed and laughed and laughed. She understood what I was trying to say. "You're the wind underneath my wings." That's what that song, "Something Lift Me Up." Man. I really messed that one up, but she'll remind me every now and then, and she'll whisper that at me. But the love, my wife, when she looks at me with that look, it takes my breath. And I'm going to tell you, that's how we, when we read God's love letter to us, When we wake up in the morning, we spend time. Listen, Pastor don't want you to be some monk stuck up off on a mountain somewhere. We live in a real world where people going to hell and they need Christ. But when I encourage you and I beseech you and I beg you to have some kind of type of systematic Bible reading, it's because I want you to understand and know the love of God. And the only way you're really going to know it is through His book. Through the book. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not." That's incomprehensible to me. I think about that. What manner of love that God, when I trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, it wasn't a long, drawn-out contract process that He had to send through the Senate of heaven. Over to the judgments, the supreme judgment seats, all the witnesses there in heaven to say, "Well, do you think He's worthy to be my son?" When I trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior at that moment, He said, "Son." Then I think about verses like when it says, "All my righteousness are as filthy rags." So, you have to, I mean, it's just incomprehensible. I mean, you think about it. At this moment, I'm convicted. I'm on my way to hell, and I'm wretched in the sight of God. And I know that I need Christ as my Savior. I ask God to forgive me. I put faith in Christ at that moment. And instantaneously, I go from a wicked, hell-bound sinner on my way to heaven. And He says, "Son," I can't comprehend. Now, I tell you, I have been in my fair share of arguments in my life, and I'm not proud of it, but I didn't get things right instantly when they said, you know, it just took me a little bit. But with God, instantly, sons of God, I can't comprehend it. I can't comprehend it how 1 second I'm on my way to hell, and one breath away from hell, one step away from hell, the next moment, I'm seated in the heavens. What manner of love? What manner of love? Look in Hosea. Now that's going to be a little difficult for some of us, but if it's back in the Old Testament, right after Daniel, find Daniel. Daniel's usually a pretty easy book to find, but look at Hosea chapter 14. Last week we asked one of the quiz questions in Bible youth zone was, which prophet was told to marry a prostitute? And one of the kids said, "Pastor, are you making that up?" I said, "No, it's real." He said, "That's just not right. That's just not right." But if you know, if you just can comprehend a little bit of the picture there, and how you and I were filthy, Christ took us in. Look at Hosea 14:4. Listen what it says. "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him." The love of God is forgiving. It's forgiving. Dear friend, we got to get to the point where we love in such a way that we forgive one another. Forgiving for Christ's sake. Not because they deserve it. But Vernon, you know there's some folks that just, they don't ask for it. They ain't never wrong. It doesn't matter. They're not going to get right. We don't do it for them. We do it for Christ's sake. And that's hard, dear friend. And He looks at the nation of Israel and He says here, "I'll heal their backside. I'll love them freely, unconditionally, for mine anger is turned away from him." So it's great. It's forgiving. It's an unnatural type of love we're talking about. It's incomprehensible, the love of God, when you try to weigh it out in your mind. Maybe, perhaps it's just me. Perhaps it's just my thinking. I know up there between my ears there's something God put there called a brain, and it's not as exercised as much as some of yours is. But when I thought about this, and I began to look at this, and I said, wow, I just at awe. Just at these few verses. Look back over in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Like again, all these are familiar verses. Maybe that there one over in Hosea is a little obscure to us, but all of these familiar verses that we've looked at. But if you think about them, you know, in context and ponder them and meditate, that's what the Bible talks about, meditating day and night. 4:10 to 1 John, the Bible says this: Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Find love that matches that. Find it. I have never in my life seen so many commercials trying to get people hooked up. I mean, matchharmony.com, even. I almost said eBay. You probably could get matched up on eBay too. I mean, they're trying to find love in all the wrong places. But here, this is true love. I mean, this is love. That He loved us. Not that we loved Him, but He first loved us. You can't find any love to match that one, dear friend. If you're outside the love of Christ tonight, I encourage you, please, when we close, come down here and let me take the Bible and show you more about the love of Christ and how you can enjoy the love of Christ. Look over with me in Romans chapter 8. Just two more. We could be honest with you, the concordance could have went on and on and on and on. Romans chapter 8. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's this TV series, Hallmark series. It came from a book from Janet Oakley, whatever her name is. It's talking about endless love, enduring love, and man, I tell you, Brother David, it started making me. I watch these movies with my girls, and I start crying now. What's going on? I'm like, it's ridiculous. It really is. I almost started crying on Gladiator the other night when he died. Man, I've watched Gladiator now 63 times. Honest to God, my kids come in and say, Dad, what are you doing? One day I want to act that thing out. I'm going to come up in here with a... No, I'm not going to do that. Well, you think about all this. You talk about enduring love. I mean, death. We've all lost somebody to death. We're waiting for that reunion on high. We're waiting for that day the Lord just calls us all home. We're there. We faced it, death. nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. That's enduring love. That includes all those times we've backslidden on God, we've got away from God, we've walked carnal away from God, and we've straddled the fence on God, and all that. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jeremiah 31:3. I bet this is someone's favorite verse. If I was to ask somebody to raise their hand, say that's it's either their favorite verse or one of their favorite verses. Jeremiah 31:3. John 3:16 taught us it was boundless. Ephesians 2:4 said it's great. Hosea 14:4 says it's forgiving. Romans 5:8. It's an unnatural love. 1 John 3:1, it's incomprehensible. 1 John 4:10, what manner of love this is matchless. Romans 8:38, 39, it's enduring. Jeremiah 31:3 says it's an everlasting love. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, have I drawn thee. Again, tonight, if you don't know Christ, and you don't know the love of Christ, when we have a verse of invitation tonight, I know normally I'm running a little late and I have to get the kids going, but we got plenty of time for invitation tonight. Brother Ray, if you'll come on up, Brother Jim. If you're lost tonight, you have never experienced the love of Christ, I beseech you, dear friend, come, let us take the Bible. Perhaps just going over these verses tonight, it just strummed your heartstring. Your heart just started playing. And you'd like to come and say, Lord, I want to say thank you for your love. Whatever your need is, let's stand.